Biggest Geekus. We are your hosts. I am Joe.
I'm Randy.
This is episode 19 of our podcast, and the date is Wednesday, January 13th, 2021.
Woo-hoo.
Not 2020.
Oh, you are mocking my outline.
I am mocking.
And that is appropriate to do so because I jacked that one up.
Well, it's like I told my wife, I had a difference of opinion with someone, mm-hmm. and I was bad-mouthing our culture, and they said I was not being very generous. And I said,
correct.
I thought to my head, in my head, it doesn't deserve any generosity whatsoever.
Right.
So, in the same vein, the 2020 you put in here instead of 2020 deserves mockery with no remorse.
Well,
mockery.
My feelings are not hurt because that rarely happens.
Rarely does.
Because I am
after this year, we should all have learned or have developed a very thick skin.
but we have not. They've
got. We have not. And not as a not as a group.
As a nation, we are thinner and thinner wine bags.
Yeah, very much so.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So,
you've gained recently, haven't you?
I have gained recently.
Suck.
I had fun. Mm-hmm. There was some tension, but I think we're fine. Cool. Played fifth edition. We did third level characters this time. I was not able to play Butch.
Oh, sadness.
Sad.
No vorpal lopping.
No. I think that's the only way that Phil can prevent my character from lopping is by just not having a high enough level game to play in for him to play in.
I gotta teach Phil the way. The way is to cheat. Don't let him say I pull my vorpal out. Well, it's a stub.
He's done that. He's done that.
Good.
Well, not that it's a stub, but you were there.
No, you can't cut that thing.
So you can't cut it off. All right. Well, I'll just do 5d8 extra damage. All right.
Yeah. Well, guess what, dude? I'm going to game on Saturday.
Oh, really? Where at?
On Zoom. I'm going to Zoom game the Sanborns and the Scots. A third level, same Phil's little setting, Planescapey. It'll be a short little 3 to 4 hour game. I'm going to experiment. I know I'd initially planned a game maybe with just you first, but I'm going to just go ahead and jump in and try it. We're going to play 5e, third level characters. We're not going to have people going to roll their own dice. We're not using a dice roller. I'm going to play Theater of the Mind.
Oh, you're not even going to have a map?
I may have one that I'm referencing, but I'm not showing anybody a map. I'm not using any kind of roll 20 or none of that poop. Just straight up Zoom and see how it goes.
All right.
So if I have to, I'll give them one of my excellent artistic interpretations of the scene and show it to them on the screen so you know it'll look like dog poop.
That's the way to go.
You know, I can also share my screen. I'm going to have a few electronic maps I'm going to be using, so I might go, this is what it looks like. Ba-dink.
Right. You know?
So we'll see how it goes. I'm pretty sure if you and I ever do one-on-one gaming, it'll be fine. But I thought, you know, I'm just going to jump in. Oh, my wife's playing too. Deb's going to play. So
that reminds me of a song.
Yes.
One-on-one by Hall & Oates.
Oh, yeah. One-on-one. Yeah, I remember that song.
It's not referencing gaming one-on-one, though.
No, it's talking about intimate relations between two individuals.
Yes.
Perhaps.
Perhaps.
One-on-one would have to be that, but it could be one group on one group. Who knows?
Could be.
That would be disgusting, but hey, do your thing, man.
They are artists, so.
You never know.
You never know. Well, in the annals of knowing things, we have gaming news. And with the news, we have a few things. You know, I was watching, I'm not sure what the date on it was, but I was watching a YouTube video and in the gaming video, and he was talking about news, and he said, well, there isn't any gaming news really that's worth talking about. And it's like, okay. But we have a few things.
Yeah, we do.
The Candlekeep Mysteries has been announced. It's going to be coming out in March. It's an adventure book.
Yeah.
Which is what I think should be the primary, primarily what, once a gaming company has their rules set out, yep. I think setting in adventures is what they should focus on, not expanding rules to the nth degree. I think we've learned by history that that's a bad idea.
And I think we have to give WotC credit for that, because that's basically what they've done.
Yes. Yes.
Well, bravo, WotC. Bravo.
Yes.
In that particular adventure, there is something that has come up. There's an adventure called The Canopic Being by Jennifer Cretcham. I don't know her. And it's a single session adventure. And it's about a dungeon that has been created by a wheelchair-bound wizard. And therefore, it's filled with something like, how do they say it? Fantasy elevators and ledges accessible by ramps. I think that smacks of virtue signaling. What do you think, Joe?
A little bit.
I know. Do what you want. That's odd.
Yeah. That's my policy. You want to play in that kind of thing? That's up to you. I don't get it. Like a lot of things in the wider gaming world, I don't get. But, you know, do what you want.
Yeah, our friend Amy, I talked to her earlier, and she's like a quoter. She would disagree with me, and we can have a good – unlike other people that I know in this world who cannot disagree reasonably, Amy can, and I can, and it's completely cool. And we're probably going to have a little discussion about that anyway. But right now, I feel like it's something that's probably from WotC's viewpoint, kind of a look how cool we are. But I could see it as a one-off. I could see it as, okay, that the one wizard makes the one sort of thing. I just don't really get the whole, I guess I have a real hard time picturing why someone would want to play a character that's disabled. I guess honestly just baffled. I don't know why you would.
I don't get it either.
And so maybe there's not much to say there, but I do think that book, as far as 17 Adventures, I was like, and there were many that were short. I kind of, as much as I'm swearing off WotC, I was like, I wouldn't mind having those, because, you know, an adventure is an adventure.
Well, you know, there's also less virtue signally, but it might be where a lot of people who are in the game gaming industry as creators, they want to put elements into the game that they identify with. Such as, you know, you want to have, you know, gay people and all types of different sexualities and
I wanted to have redheaded figures that were basically undefeatable because I am.
But you did that.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's reasonable.
So folks want to put things in their games that they're making that they identify with. So I don't know if the person who made this adventure is herself disabled or if she knows someone who is or something like that. Sometimes people do that for the inclusivity angle, not necessarily the virtue signaling angle. So they might not be doing it because they want to purposefully attract disabled people to the game. And who says it will? Because we know someone who has a disability and he always plays people who do not possess that disability or any disability. Correct. So
there are perfect characters that can never be killed.
Never.
At all. Ever. Because he's a cheater, but we love him.
Essentially that's his
He's a cheater and
at least a cheeser. He's at least a cheeser.
Oh, I'm just kidding. It's to you, Trent, baby. We love you.
I'm not.
Joe's not. Sorry, Trent. So anyway, what's interesting, I think, also, is the two lead designers, I could be wrong, are female. And if not a majority, but a large portion of the adventure writers are female. And that's gonna be something where, you know, we're pretty hard to be complaining that, oh, women are excluded from the hobby. Oh, really? The biggest company in the stinking hobby has got a buttload of females writing adventures. I mean, and that's great. Cool. And you can't complain now.
Complain anymore.
Yeah. Shut your pie hole.
Right. Pie holes.
And you know what, Joe? I hate to say it. Man, I don't want to break my what's the word? Boycott of WotC products. But I love a book with 17 adventure, dude. I'm a DM. That is hard to pass on.
I get it. And I just said that's the preferred after rules are made. That's the preferred that and setting.
Solved it. I solved it. You need to buy it for me.
Well, I have the same. I'm doing the same thing you are. Boycott.
Give the money to someone else we know and have them buy it for me.
That sounds like a workaround that's not really a workaround. Well, speaking of putting things in pie holes.
Yes.
We've got this Corvair map accessories from the article from Bell of Lost Souls.
Dude, the article I don't care about.
Yeah, but the rug that's a map.
Isn't that awesome? Cool. Dude, I've seen one for Greyhawk in the Realms. Man, I forgot the price. The one I saw was not terribly pricey. It was like $40, and I thought, I wonder if it looks bad. But I looked at that one map in the on the website. Doesn't look half bad on the one.
It doesn't. Hopefully, that's representative of what it would look like when you got it.
Yeah, that's what I worry about.
Yeah, and it's a not a huge size rug. For when you go follow the link to the item it's referring to, it's I think $30, maybe $40, like you were saying. But you small. Can, I mean, it's like 3 foot by 2 foot or something like that.
Oh, that's pretty small.
Yeah, but you can get a 6x9.
How much is
$100?
Oh, if it was cool, that'd be worth it.
Yeah. But the only problem with those rugs, and I've seen them before, is I wouldn't want to walk on it.
That's true. You'd want to put them on a wall, which is weird. Agreed.
Oh, it's like a tapestry.
Something that is not in the gaming news. I heard on Gaming and BS, guess what WizKids – okay, that's stupid. You can't guess. WizKids, they're creating the hand and eye of Vecna as an item you can purchase. And it's right. I've seen price points between $119 and $150 on eBay, and you can get it directly from them. I think for $129. That is a vanity item that your friend may blow the cash on, because you know it's going to look good if it's WizKids.
Oh sure, and but honestly though, the eye of Vecna, it'll be the size of a pea.
Well, they're saying it's a half an inch across. It'll be small.
That's but, really small.
Yeah, it's small. Well, it was 1.5 inches across. They have a mock picture online, and it shows him holding the eye.
Oh, it's one figure.
If it looked really cool, it's going to be more like a – it's more like a – not a figure so much, because it's like the hand is probably, 8 inches tall, 9 inches tall. I think it's meant to be just like, a cool show-off sort of item.
Sure, but it's one thing. When you said hand and eye, I thought you meant two. It's going to be two things.
This foolish nerd may plop down the money for that. A hand and eye in Vecna? Dude, then you know what happens. I have to include it in my games.
Sure.
And then your wizard's got to cut his hand off and put the hand on and poke his eye up with the eye in.
No.
Dude!
What would be worse, though, would be to have the head of Vecna. He's going to cut their head off.
Dude, there's an adventure for that. You know that, right? The head of Vecna?
Right.
KODT made that, I think so.
Well, I don't know if it was Vecna. I think it was Vectra or something similarly sounding name, but you knew what it was about.
Or back in the third edition era, WotC might have done it as April Fool's adventure.
Yeah, thing. There was something like that.
I've got it somewhere on my hard drive. I know I do. Yeah. That's cool. But yeah, that would be cool. But those rugs look cool, but you're right. You couldn't really walk on them.
I wouldn't want to. I mean, not for very long. They start looking like crap.
Yeah, good point.
Well, also, we've got this article about how the D&D movie might become the D&D TV show. And that,
well, the guy
is there. Yeah. Their opinion that was perhaps a better way to go.
Yeah, because after the success of The Mandalorian, this guy was making some comments how he thought, the special effects and the techniques they used. I won't bore you with the details, mainly because I don't remember them. But it's basically that they thought the way that Jon Favreau shot The Mandalorian is just perfect for a D&D style game where there's lots of monsters because there's lots of strange species in Star Wars. And I think he's got a point. I think it'd be really cool not Disney, but somebody created a D&D, you know, Forgotten Realms or something, TV series with 8-12 episodes a season and high budget, you know,
because that's what it should be called, Forgotten Realms, or they can do Greyhawk. They could just call it Greyhawk. You don't say D&D. This is the Dungeons and Dragons movie. No, we're going to slap you in the head if you do that again.
Yeah.
I may have to make a trip to California.
You may have to. We both might have to.
If you go to California, you have to wear a mask when you're walking around outside. So.
That's right, because you might catch air in your lungs.
Yes, air in your lungs.
Can't have air.
Yeah. The innovations are basically a custom soundstage and post-production addition of graphics and lighting and stuff like that. So he's been able to capitalize on all that, some cool ways of filmmaking and keep the budget kind of low. It's $15 million an episode. I don't know if that's low.
Pocket change.
In today's money.
No idea, man.
Right. I guess maybe considering special effects and whatnot.
Yeah.
Possibly. It might be a good deal.
Oh, we also got are you done with that? Because I was going to do the next one. Origins is hoping to push back to the fall this year instead of being their normal June time. I think they're going to go for September, October, and they're hoping to be face-to-face. So,
that'd be cool.
I think it seems smarter to have it in the summer when viruses don't do as well in the heat, especially like in in Indiana. I mean, Gen Con's wanting to go face-to-face. So.
Well, I think September is just before the normal flu season, which somehow disappeared this past year.
Right.
The normal flu season, respiratory illnesses are increased during winter, you know, end of fall, beginning of winter. September is just at the end of summer. So maybe they'll escape that.
Yeah.
Hopefully. I mean, hopefully they can do it in person. I mean, that's what you want to do. You want to do cons in person. I mean, I know they have a lot of online conventions for people who can't travel, and they do international type of things. You know, you don't have to worry about traveling. You don't have to worry about expense. You just log on and there's various online events, and that's fine. That's fine.
I don't think I would enjoy one of those.
It'd be I've watched a few con events that were recorded. I think one that was live was the thing that I think it's Chris Perkins that he DMs Acquisitions Incorporated.
Is that Perkins? I know he has one. I don't know.
Maybe Sean Reynolds, maybe. I can't remember which one.
Yeah, I'm not sure who it is.
Bald guy.
Oh, well, that doesn't narrow it down. I think Chris Perkins is usually the GM, I think. I don't think I've ever seen Sean do it. Not that I know these guys. I mean, like Sean and Chris we're not on a first name basis, even though I'm going by their first name because I don't really care. So.
So I've watched those a couple of times in various announcements, you know, because I've never gone to Gen Con, and it's always been too expensive for me.
It is expensive.
Yes. So something that's not expensive are these free maps you can get from the DriveThruRPG from Wizards of the Coast. Imagine that, getting free stuff from WotC.
That's kind of unimaginable, actually. I didn't believe it till I actually went to the site and looked at it. You get the World of Ken Kryn trail map, and then I believe it's Mystara.
Part of Eastern
countries, yeah. So there's two maps. One is Mystara. It's the old trail maps. I recall, I don't know if you remember seeing those in the store back in the day, but I do. I saw those trail maps. They were literally folded up like you would a map you would get at a convenience store when you're traveling back in the day, back when you needed it, way before GPS. So, yeah, they're pretty cool. So, yeah, I'll probably download them sometime. I mean, what the heck? Can't hurt to have them. Free maps, huh? I'm good with that.
You never have too many game maps.
That's actually impossible. Joe's right. You cannot do that.
Can't do that.
Yeah.
Don't try.
No. So stop. If you're trying to stop yourself from buying maps, stop stopping yourself and get more maps.
Since people resisting our
I do too. I think they're actually telling us
desires here. Yeah.
I feel some of them are laced with expletives.
We should probably change the subject. Yes. So,
Joe's bored.
So, Dragonlance has novels out. Coming out. Perhaps.
That's kind of funny the way you said that. The Dragonlance has novels. Holy crap. No, yeah, there's some new ones, right? Perhaps. July. They're saying there's a placeholder somewhere.
The way the article read is kind of it's a maybe.
Yeah. Oh, Wizards has announced they're going to have 3 new setting books come out this next year. And so it's going to be
cringe. That's not in the list of news.
Well, they said this months ago.
Oh.
We were boycotting. We were holding our signs outside before we rushed the Watsy Capitol. me and you, all two of us.
Just the two of us.
We're taking over D&D.
Yeah.
Oh, my. So anyway, yeah. So apparently, you know, we know that we've already mentioned Hickman and Weiss made good with, you know, they all made up, kissed and made up with Watsy. Yep. And so I bet with those 3 settings coming out, Kryn is bound to be one of them.
Right.
I mean, it was like huge. It was very popular. So, yeah, it's probably happening. Yeah. Probably going to have a trilogy and make it all 5e-ified. So.
Yeah. We will be, once again, we will have Kender in the game groups, which was never fun.
Yeah, you know, I'll be honest. Our buddy Darren in college, Darren H. out there, if you listen, he played the best Kender I have ever seen.
Mm.
First of all, he was not completely and utterly annoying like every other Kender I'd ever seen that you wanted to choke. And I played a Paladin alongside his Kender Rogue. We had a good time, and he wasn't disruptive. Darren just had the – I thought he had the – but Darren also tries to – you know, he tries to get along. He doesn't want to cause trouble with, you know – goofy and annoying play, but yeah, still,
he would never use the "this is my, what my character would do" excuse.
No, God, not our boy Darren, but yeah, he played a great Kender. I forgot his name. It was great. I had a paladin. We played for a couple years together. It was really cool. I actually used my paladin and his Kender, their character sheets, knocked him up a level or two when I ran a high level second edition Gen Con game. Ravenloft Planescape combo. But yeah, that's all I found on the new stuff.
Right. Well, I never really got into Kryn. I read a couple of the novels, but I don't know. Not my style. I like a lot of fantasy books, but I just couldn't get into I couldn't get it too much.
Yeah,
into
that. Basically, so you're an elitist snob, so that's why.
Yes, very snobby.
So now Joe was a little more demanding with his novels, and Kryn, I liked what little I read. I liked how you could see some of the D&D rules being played out in the stories. I realize it doesn't really make for a fantastic story, but I thought Kryn had a lot, even story-wise, they had a lot going on. I thought Raistlin was a cool character. I loved how he saved the world by staying back in the abyss, and, you know, even though he was evil, it was kind of cool. But I think the extra books got a little weird, especially when the chaos. I don't know. I didn't really read them, so I just read like the first one. So right. I just know all the stories because everybody, all my friends, talked about them.
Right. Oh. Well, we got a new voicemail from John Allen Large over at Red Dice Diaries. I'm going to play that. It's concerning a previous episode.
Okay.
So let's go ahead and do that.
Hey there, guys. It's John here from the Red Dice Diaries. I'm just listening to your GM rants episode. A bit behind on my podcast listening, catching up at the moment. Very much enjoying the episode. And I've got to say, I pretty much agree with you guys when you're talking about that whole, oh, it's what my player would do, justification for being a knobhead. It's one of the things that I know a lot of people say it's maybe apocryphal, and I don't hear it as much now, but certainly like, when I first started, I used to hear it all the time. And 9 times out of 10, I'd say it was just someone being a bit of a dickhead. So I've got to agree, I'm really not a fan of that at all. Because you can justify having your character behaving in a way that works for the group and for the game if you just put a little bit of thought into it. Because like you guys said, you're in control of the character. Anyway, I'm going to get back to listening to the episode, guys. Very much enjoying it. Keep up the good work and take care.
Okay, well, thank you, John, for the words of encouragement. He said we're doing a good job, which is great. I also appreciate.
The best part was him saying he agreed with us.
Yes, well, the best part, of course. That means he's, of course, intelligent.
Yes. Yeah. Right.
Also, I appreciated his use of the word knobhead.
Me too. That does not get used enough, at least not in the U.S.
That's we need more knobhead in the world.
Yes. But yeah, he's spot on. I mean, I 100% agree. I get really annoyed at people that use that excuse of, oh, I'm just doing what my character would do. Yeah. You are your character. Yeah. Make it try to get along. Think about it. Be creative.
Yeah, because you're in a group.
Yeah, it's a group game.
Yeah. There's other people here.
Hello.
Right. Dang. Okay, well, we are going to move on to the main topic, which is player burnout. Mm-hmm. And what is it?
Yeah, baby.
How do we identify it? And what do we do about it? I don't know what we do about it, but
all things we would do about it.
So do we have a definition of player burnout?
We do not.
We do not. So we'll swag this. It's just, I watched a video because I was on YouTube and I was off today. So I was able to do a little bit of research, only a little. I went on YouTube and typed in player burnout and the video that came up, the fellow was talking about a different kind of burnout than I think we're talking about. His burnout was not being able to think when you're at the table and you're like, okay, it's your turn. What do you do? And you're like, you have a brain lock. Oh, he called it burnout.
Right.
But I read on, there's a Reddit thread where someone else was talking about burnout and somebody replied to in it, essentially burnout is you kind of lose your desire to play.
Right. That's what I was
frustrated saying. Maybe. And he said, well, it's something like that happens to a lot of people in a lot of different areas. You get tired of doing something for one reason or another. You lose your zest.
Right. Yeah. I think that's a good definition as anything else. I wonder, and I think there is a difference between DM and player burnout. I mean, we're all players, right? Even the DM, but I've gotten burnt out as a DM. I've never gotten burnt out as a player. Right. I think because I don't play very much, but I think as a player, well, I mean, have you? I'm not sure.
I've never had burnout.
Do you think it's because to really get burnt out, you have to play too much? I don't think you have to play too much. I think everybody has a different threshold of what too much is.
I think from time to time, I've had the thought occur that, you know, you're a old dude and you're still playing this game. But then I think, well, so what? A lot of other people are. There are people older than me that still play. So I think it's not a function. That's not a reasonable line of thinking.
No.
Something else I heard and read in today, tooling around the internet, was overplaying, you know, playing too much. Right now in the lockdown era that we're in, it's kind of hard to imagine playing too much, except perhaps online.
I was going to say, I hear some people talking, and they're playing like 3 or 4 games a week. It seems like, and they're saying this going and going. I'm like, I can't imagine, but I'm not a big fan of this. Like I said, I'm going to experiment coming up, right? I'm going to experiment on a Saturday. I've played a little bit. Right now, it's not that it sucks. I could not imagine playing even 2 games a week online. Even one as a DM and one as a player would be really hard. Just because the environment's not my favorite. But in general, I mean, I remember back in the day we were young, we would play a lot. And I would eventually get to a point where, you know, you guys, hey, let's play. And I'd be like, no, let's go do something else. And it was like, you know, you play 4 or 5 days in a row.
Right.
6-7 hours at a pop like we used to.
Right.
Like, I'm a little like right now. I can't even imagine that. Even if I had the time, I wouldn't want to.
No, because there's so I mean, if I didn't have a day-to-day job and somehow was I could do whatever I wanted to, I still wouldn't play that many days in a row. There's all other kinds of things to do. I have a wife.
Yeah.
You know, she doesn't want to do that every day. So
no, I like to bike. I like to lift weights, take walks. Got a dog. Honestly, I think in my old age, I think I enjoy talking about the game as much as playing, which is probably why I'm doing the podcast.
Well, it's a function of being nerds, because we don't just like to play. We like to talk about playing and getting into. I don't know. I was thinking about it today that I don't think the game is some sublime, deep, philosophical thing.
No.
But when you're in it and you're with your friends, you're playing, you're all kind of on the same wavelength and enjoying each other's company, there's something profound about that. But you can have that in any kind of cooperative venue apart from just gaming. But, yeah.
We've done fire pits and cookouts where I felt the same thing.
Right.
Man, we're really enjoying this. This is great. Halloween parties. But to try to get into the focus on the burnout. I think a player I don't know. You've never had it, but my thought as a player, I could imagine someone who maybe keeps playing D&D Gambit campaigns one after the other, and doesn't even get a chance to cleanse the palate.
Right.
And it could be he doesn't want to. Maybe he only likes D&D, but too much of anything can get old after a while.
For some people,
I mean, I think that's probably the key. I think for the Dungeon Master, I think it's a little different. It's not that you're tired of D&D, but let's just be honest. You're carrying the load.
Right.
You got five players and a DM. The DM's not carrying 1/6 of the load. Even at a good table, he's probably carrying 2/3, if not more.
Right, because of all the story. Even if you're doing the lazy dungeon master method of things, you're still at the table.
Yeah.
You're kind of a director, so.
You're like, okay, you guys are sitting in this room, right? And then you're at a tavern, and to the west side of the wall, you notice a large dragon's head. Apparently, the owner was an adventurer one time. It's very impressive. It's about 3 feet long. It's probably about a foot and a half in diameter. It's a dark green color. Looks like it's not been well kept over the years. It's pretty old. And Joe goes, hey, my little halfling rogue wants to head over and talk to the barmaid. Okay, you see a fine-looking woman. She's probably in her early 20s. And she's quite tall, blonde hair. And you go, oh, just my type, even though you're a halfling. You know? And so, but the DM, you're always thinking, and I'm looking around and I'm scanning the room, seeing what other players, if they're close to the table, are they into this? Are they wanting my attention, not just Joe? And then I got to have the interaction. Then you got to look at the tables and the rules. You got a plan going on. When can I drop this on them? When should I do this? Your brain is always going.
Right.
And if you do that for a very long time, like I imagine back in the old days, if I played weekly for 6 hours, like you and I would like to do 6 or 8 hour sessions, played every Friday from 6 p.m. till midnight. Let's say we did that. And I did that for a straight year.
Might want to take a break.
I might. Now,
from,
it doesn't
from mean, being the DM.
GM. And probably, you know me, I'm like 90% GM. So I'd probably just want a short campaign or 2 or 3 sessions just to get the juices flowing. Or even a GM can play something else. I think players could too, unless you're just like, I don't like anything else.
Right.
And so I think that's kind of what they look like. And to me, I mean, I know when I've experienced GM burnout, it also comes out in my prep. I'll be sitting and staring at the wall and like, I don't know what to do. I mean, right. I'm literally just like befuddled. I have no idea what to do. Don't know where to begin. Can't even think about what would be a cool next storyline or follow-up, even though there's probably tons of little threads the players have left loose that I could pick up. My brain is just kind of fried.
Right.
That's how I can tell when I've had enough of, probably GMing. But, right now with COVID and stuff, this is kind of a funny topic because I'm not even close to burnout.
No, not even.
Yeah,
but another thing I think another thing that could cause burnout is not just playing too much, but maybe having enough repeated bad sessions.
Oh, yeah.
It's, I mean, I haven't really had a bad session in a long time.
Yeah.
And that's because of cultivating our group.
Right.
Which we cultivate our group by being ourselves and eventually
killing people, the ones we don't like.
Well, yeah, we don't talk about that.
Oh, my bad. Oh, yeah, no.
We don't talk about that.
That's not what I said.
We're going to have to take care of that in post. So
I love you do that.
So we are ourselves, and eventually the ones that don't mesh, they eventually fall away and go find people that they are more compatible with, which is fine.
It's perfectly fine.
Yeah, but I imagine people. I don't. Well, no, I do. I can't imagine it, because when I was in the Army and I lived in Virginia, the Virginia, D.C., Virginia area.
Yep.
Though it's densely populated, it was difficult for me to find a group there for a while.
Huh.
Or my duty station before that in Oklahoma, mm-hmm. and before that in Germany, it was all light gaming. Because of the circumstances. I didn't know enough people to Oklahoma, and it was in Germany. We're in Germany. So
light gaming, what do you
light
mean?
Light gaming as in not a lot of gaming.
Oh, okay.
So, and the other thing, the gaming that I did have was a complete mixed bag because of the very different people that you got to play with. Much like going to a game store and whoever happens to be there happens to be there.
And you can have, I'm sorry, Joe. I mean, go ahead, bud. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Right. So I can imagine imagine having a lot of bad sessions and, you know, being, okay, I'm fed up. Maybe this isn't what I want to do.
Yeah, I could see, especially at a game store environment. I mean, you could really, there's a lot of good gamers out there, even ones that, you know, there's a lot of gamers that, you know, we don't even know even anyway. They're fantastic. I'm sure we'd love having them at a table and we'd get along swimmingly with. But I think I could see someone having a game store, moving to a new town. Oh, I just moved to this town, found a cool game store, go once, crappy session. The GM was complete. Not, I'm going to borrow John's. He's a complete knobhead, and he just, you know, kills characters left and right, and, you know, takes unholy delight in killing endless hordes of player characters, right?
Yes.
And, you know, that guy sucks. Next session, you got Smelly Joe, and that's what my character would do, Fred, right? And they're just all over the place and destroying. Like, oh my gosh, I ain't playing with this group. You come the next week, and the guy that was supposed to be there flaked out. You come the following week, he flaked out again. You come again, he flaked out again. So you're like, holy crap, there's a month and a week. And I've had nothing but douchebags for gamers,
right.
You know, and I just laid out several different things of bad, bad gaming. And I was like, you know what? Maybe this is not what I thought it was when I played a few years back. Maybe I'm not really that pumped about it.
Right.
And especially if you're like you, you read the new rules of 5e and you're like, well, everybody's playing 5e. You know, okay, I'll buy the player's handbook. And then, oh, this is weenie. This is suck. And then you're like, then no one's showing up and have all these bad experiences. Screw that. I'm done with D&D. I ain't messing with this.
Right. But
that would be a thing that would happen that could burn you out on the hobby, in the sense that you could. And I've heard people talk about that, that I don't like the people who play D&D. I've read a couple of articles where people, not articles, but responses on Reddit and stuff. Well, yeah, I don't play anymore because everybody that plays D&D is a bunch of, they live at home and they're mouth breathers and they're, you know, fat beards and stuff like that, you know, derogatory names for sure. But they're like, their experiences, you know, back that up, you know. So that could be that'd be a type of burnout that would come from different from play.
Right. Right. True. And yeah.
Hmm. You think a style of play could burn you out too, right? Not just D&D, but what if you always play, we're always heroes, I'm always the paladin or the cleric, or I'm always the bard or the wizard, and we're always doing super goody-goody things. And not that you want to be a bad guy, but you're just like, man, we're always just, the stories start seeming the same. We always beat the evil necromancer, then we fight the great dragon, then we win the treasure, and the game's over.
Right, and you know, I'm a big fan of playing wizards, mm-hmm. but for the longest now, for couple of years, I'm primarily playing fighters and bards. And maybe I was burned out on wizards. We have a lot of folks in our small gaming group that we all like to play wizards.
Yeah.
So I just kind of defer to other people and say, yeah, automatically. I don't ask them or anything. I just to myself say, well, they're probably going to play wizard. I'll play something else.
Well, Joe, you know, since I literally know you better than you know yourself.
Oh, okay.
No, I was going to say.
Tell me about me.
I'm going to say, you know, do you think your wizard hiatus, I would call it a hiatus you've taken on wizards. Do you think it's your frustration? I mean, every version of D&D, Joe, you're like, I don't like that. I mean, as far as wizards go, this dude, Joe, he will find, no, that's not how I would do it. That's not how you always find. And it's OK because you're seeking the perfect wizard character in a role playing game. I want a character to be like this. Do you think at all you're like, I just haven't found, let's stick with D&D, the edition of D&D where I really like the wizard?
No, because they all have Vancian casting.
I know, and you hate
that. As long as you have Vancian, I'm going to like it less than I could.
So hey, could that be?
How about you've learned how to do magic, but every time you cast it, you forget it?
Well, that sounds about right to me. What's the problem? Yeah. My name is Gandalf the White. Oh, shoot. I already cast Ray of Blast against the, what were those things? Nazgul. Can't do it again today. Sorry, fellas. We're host. Looks like Sauron wins. Oh, goodness. So, yeah, that's interesting. So I wonder if you could also get burnout through playing the same thing or being dissatisfied with your favorite archetype.
Right.
I think that could happen.
Sure.
But burnout doesn't have to be quit, right? That doesn't mean if you're burnt out, you don't got to quit playing D&D.
No, take a break.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, as far as advice from burnout, I think taking a break is absolutely a good idea. Do something else. If you're a hardcore gamer, play video games, play card games, play board games, you know, make your gaming night that. Or I think, too, if you're really burnt out, I think it's okay to bow out of your gaming group.
Sure.
For a while. So I got to take a break.
Take a break.
Some other activities, you know, go ride horses with someone's wife, maybe, if they're into that.
Sure. We don't know anybody like that at all.
Preferably your own wife, not someone else.
Yes, your own wife. Your list of possible advice, it doesn't include the thing that we dudes are always accused of not wanting to do, and that's talk to someone about it.
Oh, go to a therapist to help us with.
Well, no. That I think is still kind of girly, but
girly.
Talk to your friends.
Yeah, really. Because hey, man, I'm feeling
your
like
your friends. Well, they're not trained therapists. Having a close friends, family, support group, that kind of a support is invaluable when you're having a burnout. Could be. You never know what really it's all about. But if you talk to your friends who are gaming, or your gaming friends, or even just your regular friends who aren't gamers, but just friends otherwise, I don't know how that could even work, but apparently it does.
Some people have friends who don't game. I've heard of that, Joe.
Wow. That's wild.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, talk to your friends.
Yeah, well, you know, and they might point out, look, dude, the reason you don't want a GM is because you just spent 3.5-4 days prepping one class that you're going to teach online because it's totally complete garbage. I mean, the whole concept of teaching online, math and online, is terribly annoying. And so you've done that, and all you've been on the computer for, you know, 16, 18 hours, you know, well, one day it was 10, one day it was 12, one day it was 6, you know, and now you don't want to sit on the computer and play again. I mean, that's what the whole experience last week. And even now, I'll be honest with you, I'm excited about playing on one hand, but I'm a little like, oh, God, I got to be on the computer, you know, which, you know, at least I'm doing the podcast. I guess that's a good thing. But your friends could say, hey, you got too many irons in the fire. And they could say, why don't you try something else? Or like I have there, maybe it's time to switch the role. Maybe Randy needs to jump in the player seat and make Joe run a 7-year campaign using
Vampire
the Masquerade.
I am getting itchy. Well, not for Vampire the Masquerade.
I know. I was waiting to see if you heard that.
I did play that once.
Mm-hmm.
No. I actually played it multiple times. I played a little bit when I was in the military.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get yelled at for 2 hours in that session, so it was a little nicer.
Yeah.
Also, we were in the military, so it's not like we dressed up goth and went downtown and LARPed the whole day.
As
a vampire. I think that went. I'm not sure how long that as a thing lasted, but.
The LARPing and vampire clothes?
Yeah, the vampire thing. But initially,
probably six. I imagine it was close to a decade. There were people doing that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not that LARPing has gone away, but I think when as far as but, and I have very little exposure to the vampire. But when I first heard about it, the way it was described was a bunch of people going out to in a social situation out in the world, not just in their house, and doing a kind of LARPing. And I was like sitting there thinking, I can't imagine doing that ever. That sounds like not fun. But yeah, that's me. I'm not big on that. And other people are, and that's cool. But
that's one way to play vampire. You can also do classic sit at the table, because I've done it. I play with some of my friends.
Right.
And you don't have to play dress up and wear black eyeliner and go out and say I'm Count Baron von Chausen.
Munchausen.
Oh, dude. So, I think taking on a new role is a good idea. Switch player to GM or vice versa. I think trying something new, like a new system, a new setting. Sometimes just a new setting. Hey, we're kind of burnt out on Greyhawk. Let's do Planescape. Let's do Birthright. Something different. Or jump into a brand new game.
Yeah.
Fate Accelerated. No, thank you.
I've never played Fate Accelerated. What's the difference between Accelerated and regular?
You get tired of it really fast. Did I say that out loud? No, it's I think it's the beginner game of D&D. They strip down some of the rules. Okay, they go from three rules to two. So, but no, I don't know. I'm beating on Fate because, I don't like it. But some people do. I mean, whatever. But there's Fate Accelerated and the Fate game. Fate Accelerated is like, I think, a 40-page little booklet, maybe 6 inches wide. And I mean, it's a slick little game for some people. But, I mean, the point is, do something else. Do something different. Yeah. I think that's all.
You just may need a temporary hiatus.
Yep.
Because that's what burnout in general, if it's just you're tired of something, a lot of times that's all you need, no matter what it is, games or whatever.
I know as a DM when I've not, back in the day, when I didn't notice, or even I've done it recently since my Seven Spheres campaign. You remember I had a good 2-year stretch where I was starting and stopping and starting and stopping campaigns. I think I should have taken 3 months off and just gotten away from it. I think I was burnt out and didn't realize it. I mean, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And I'm still having issues, but this was more trying to get time to be able to play. But I have that stop start issue. But I don't think it's burnout. I think right now some of my issues are trying to look at all that crap in my game room and saying I want to play all of it. You just got to pick one and go.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that situation is with the way the trend in gaming is to have short sessions. You can, if you just have short sessions, you could probably get through more of your library there.
Yeah.
You just have fewer and shorter sessions of each thing.
Yeah, I could imagine, because I do like to run modules, I still call them modules, run short adventures and say, hey, that's a campaign. Right. Run another one. I'm going to do that. And part of me likes that, but I'm really longing for right now. I'm really wanting the lasting campaign. We talked about it before. I want the 4 or 5 players and me. Let's go for a year. or longer, who knows. But anyway, I think that's good ways to tackle that. Kind of the last question that I wanted to get at here, this is an interesting one. Do you think burnout could be a deeper thing? And by that I mean, and I've wondered this at times, especially when I was jumping from game to game, can you grow out or away from RPGs?
Well, sure you can.
Okay.
Yeah. I know I've heard people, I know I've known people who have. They're like, well, I used to. I don't really, you know, it's not my thing anymore.
Yeah.
For whatever reason.
Right. And I've heard of folks that left and then come back later, too. A lot of folks tell that story.
Sure. And it could be situational. Maybe they're I know when my first marriage, she wasn't into it at all.
Right.
So it was difficult from the point of view of doing something but not with your wife for a long time, all the time, always into it.
Yeah.
And it was a strain at that time. And my current marriage, it was at the very beginning, but we figured it out.
Yeah, I think you have to know, especially in a marriage thing, you gotta know when to, you know, cut it back some. That's, you know, been a thing for me and Deb too early on. But she's a gamer, so she wants to play.
Right. Same with Jenny.
And so So we're lucky. We have wives that want to play. But if we were to play without our wives at all, I think after a while it might be tough. But you just have to keep it limited. It couldn't be something you would do, you know, every weekend for 20 hours.
No. But it could be a deeper thing, even than that.
Yeah.
You could. It might not be that you're burned out on D&D. You might have some other issue going on, and that's just a symptom of some other thing. So, which is a good reason to talk to people.
Yeah.
Especially your friends.
Mm-hmm.
And you know. You might end up having to talk to a therapist if there's something more than just, I need to take a break.
And, you know, but some people, too, maybe I think about when they played D&D when they were younger, 13, 14, and then get 16 or 17 and you get your girlfriend, saw this a lot and they'd, you know, and I'm not blaming girlfriends, having for boyfriends, too. I don't know. We didn't have many girls to game with us back then. And poof, they don't play anymore and they never come back. And some people, maybe they would like to, but they don't have the time. And I think some people may just have enjoyed, you know, the gaming on a surface level. Maybe they like killing monsters and taking their stuff for a while. And they said, oh, I'm tired. Let's roll in dice and pretend it's not that great anymore. I'm done.
Yeah.
And they may really just, I'm like, I had a good time for a while. You know, like you play a game. Like we played Talisman for a long time. We really liked it. And then after a while, I was like, dang, for me anyway, this game is long and not as exciting. Though I've kind of felt like a need to go back to it, a desire. Yeah, who knows? I mean, but I think there are people that are gamers at heart, and not to poo-poo on the other people, but people that are like us, you know, I'm not going to stop playing.
Right.
I can't. I won't ever. I mean, as long as I'm able to roll dice and I can get a couple of friends around, I'll do it.
Yeah.
So.
I told you, when you and Phil and I retire, we're going to terrorize
the
We're going to go around to all the coffee shops. I don't like coffee, but we're going to go to
McDonald's
or Wendy's or whatever. We'll play D&D and we'll drag the poor workers there into roll this.
Yes.
You're dead.
We need somebody to play our rogue. Come on. Are you on break? You can play the rogue.
Yeah. Just one roll.
Mm-hmm. All right. I think that's all I got to say about player burnout, at least as far as general advice goes. You got anything else you wanted to bring up about it?
I don't think so. I've never really experienced it, so it's difficult to get more than general about it. But
yep.
I think that the best advice for someone who is experiencing that is probably to take a break, talk to your friends, and relax about it.
Try some other stuff.
You get back into it.
Yep. If you don't, there's plenty of other crap to do in the world.
Yeah. Indeed. So with respect to CabinCon.
Yeah. So this is probably an easy question, but probably. Maybe not. Do you think we will ever tire grow out of or burn out of, burn out on CabinCon?
Well, if you change that to you or I, if I'm just talking about me, I don't see it.
Right.
Because even though CabinCon is primarily, by primarily I mean like 90% gaming, it's us dudes hanging out and bonding over a weekend. So
for me now, it's only about 70% gaming.
Right. I mean, as far as the activities that go on.
Yeah, yeah, right. So the things that we actually do when we get there, besides sitting around eating food and talking BS, it's basically gaming, right? RPGs for the most part.
Right. So we get together with our pals and hang out and relax. And gaming is something that we do while we're there.
I think maybe only naturally. I think it may morph into more hanging out and less gaming.
It's possible.
I mean, I already feel like it. Well, no, we play quite a few games, so.
Well,
who knows?
So the last couple of times. 4 days is
a long time.
Yeah, the last couple of times we gamed, I had folks over to game in real life. We talked a lot because we haven't been able to.
Right.
So that's what we ended up doing. So between now and CabinCon, that might still be a thing because we might still be, you never know what's going to happen between now and then. It's possible that at some point, a lot of the restrictions will be lifted and things will, while I don't think normal will ever, it'll never be normal from the point of view of pre-2020, but at least we'll have some semblance.
Yeah.
We might. I don't know. I can't tell the future. But
last year was good, but we did a lot of talking. It was fun. Made a lot of plans.
If we continue in the same vein we are in now up until CabinCon, I think the first day might end up being everybody just, we're just going to unload and decompress for a while. We might get a game in. So we probably shouldn't plan on too much that first day.
Are you saying in the future or now?
Well, I'm talking about CabinCon, the one coming up. If we are in the same situation as far as COVID between then and now, our best bet is probably to plan for decompression when we get there.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Because you needed that last time instead of Phil.
I really,
because of your individual situations.
Yeah, it was tough. We had a big mess, and I had to come a day late, and I was aggravated with what I had to deal with. But that's life in a big city.
So I don't think we'll get tired of it. I won't get tired of it.
I can't imagine it either. But I don't know.
There's definitely a core of us that will probably always do it.
Yeah.
Or at least as we'll do it for as long as it's possible to do.
Yeah, agreed. Okay, now in regards to our, building a better gaming world and gaming setting, if we ever get this thing done, right, if we ever actually have a document that's a big variant of D&D with all our big ideas in it, do you think we'll burn out on it? Because you see us playing it and go, the point is chasing, is the dream, is the chase, is the struggle the glory? And not, right?
I
often wonder, I'm like, because I'm really pumped about doing this, though we've not put much, pen to paper. You've done a little bit. I've done minor things. I've scribbled. You've typed some stuff up. And I sometimes grow weary of this design crap, and I want to quickly go, screw it, let's just play D&D. Right. And part of me thinks of it as something that I enjoy. I think, let's play fifth edition and let's just rip it apart as we play. Hey, Joe, you want to play a non-Vancian wizard? Let's just freaking do it. Let's make one and see what happens, or play second edition, whatever we're going to build our chassis on. But do you think at some point we'd be like, if we ever built this thing and had a book, I can imagine game designers make games and go, I don't want to play that. I mean, can you imagine?
I understand what you're saying, and I thought that before hearing a bunch of them talk about it, but some advice that common advice from people who design games is design a game you want to play.
Right.
So if we design something that we want to play, and then if we design something and when it's in the book and we look at it like, oh, I don't want to play that, then we failed. I mean,
yes, correct.
In a particular point of view, if we make a bunch of money off of it, that's not necessarily a failure. But if we don't want to play it, then we're like, we'll be back to square one.
Yeah.
What are we going to play?
I'm glad people liked it. And I'm glad we actually managed to sell 20 copies. But man, this is suck. I mean, you know, what are we going to do? We got to redesign the wheel again. Dude, we're old. We can't do that again.
Right. So there's no, but the thing is, we're going to know before we sell a single thing, if we ever do, what the game is.
Right.
So this is something we'll know beforehand.
Oh,
it's not going to be like, here's the printed book, and then we open it and look at it. That's not going to happen.
No, I'm not talking. I'm talking about imagine playing, building. Oh, it's cool. And whether we sell it or not, let's just say it's a PDF that we give to our friends. We don't sell it. And we play it. And everybody's like, this is fun. We play and play and play. And you're like, man, I'm tired of this game. I guess it'll happen. It could happen.
It might.
It's hard.
The thing
it's
is,
yeah.
With us, I know with me, even though I'm not a fan of 5th edition, I'm playing because I have friends that want to play, and we all want to game together because we enjoy gaming together.
Right.
So the rules are second to that first idea.
That's true.
Pals getting together, hanging out, we're going to play something, and right now it's 5th edition, and apparently it's surpassed Pathfinder. You know, yes. They traded back and forth over iterations of their games.
Right.
And most people, it's a best-selling game again. So most people who game like 5th edition, I'm not sure what the numbers are in that. I mean,
I believe I heard somewhere, not numbers, but I believe 5th edition is the top selling D&D edition of all time. I had read that.
Right. Somewhere. Right. But, and that's, I get that that's probably possible. But in the current age, that's not necessarily a huge boast because of how much the hobby has grown. And the how media is, the internet, all that stuff, and the ability for people to play with like-minded folks over the internet is probably a large part of that.
And the stigma's not there anymore.
There's no, you don't have folks running around saying, well, you probably do have some, but they don't have much of a voice.
They're super fringe, and you got actors and singers and sports athletes playing this game. I mean, it's cool to play D&D now.
Right.
Which is so totally weird. That actually might be a topic in the future we talk with, though. We have our friend Patrick back, talk a little bit about that idea, but won't give anything away because I'm not sure how we're going to label it. But, true.
So will we get tired of it? Maybe.
Right.
If we do...
It'll be your fault.
We'll just tinker.
It'll be Joe's fault.
It'll be my fault.
I'll say, look at this dumb rule you wrote. I told you, Vancian's the way.
Well, yeah.
Oh, we say, Vancian, what's a Mandalorian? Vancian, this is the way. that's how the Mandalorians, that's their thing. This is the way. This is the way. We do this. Because this is the way. Vancian, this is the way.
Oh, if that became a mantra for Vancian and D&D, might have to resort to violence at that point.
5e does 5e have Vancian? I'm trying to remember. Is it really Vancian? Is it true, Vancian?
Somewhat.
Is it? Yeah.
I didn't play a wizard.
Oh, okay.
I played a warlock, and I have a fighter, and I have a warlock.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I looked at it. At one point, I can't remember though. I don't know if it's the fire and forget or if it's you have with the wizard you have spells. No, maybe there might be a slight variation of the arcanist or the magister from Arcane Evolved, where you have a body of spells that you know, which is unlimited for wizards, but then mm-hmm. a subset of that you prepare.
Right.
And then you have your slots that you can use to cast, and then once you run out of slots, then you're done. Some casters work that way.
Since I'm running 5e this Saturday, I probably should figure that out.
Yeah, it would be good. That would be good.
Dude, I played a full year of that game. You would think I'd remember it, but it's kind of like in one ear and out the other. So it just wasn't top of my mind. I just figured it's the easiest to get everybody back into playing because I'm playing with some of our friends that haven't played for a bit. Well, my wife and I think the Scots haven't played much either. So,
but. Yeah, the Vancian thing is big for me. It's one that's probably the reason why I'm not really drawn as I'm drawn to OSR from the one point of view. In it,
the feel. It's
primarily because most of the OSR stuff that I've seen so far, they don't have the modern politically correct phraseologies in it.
Correct.
They just get down to the gaming, right? They don't care about mm-hmm. they don't focus on anything else. They don't even, it's not an issue in the, any
they're
of the
not, preach, just, not preaching at you.
Yeah. Just, this is the game. This is, these are the rules. Here you go. And that's refreshing. But when I look at this magic and it's like, oh, we are Vancian. I'm like, okay, no.
But you know, Vancian kind of gives that, it's hard to even, I'm sure the OSR people, we're going to have a topic on that. We're going to do the OSR. I keep threatening to do that in an OSR episode, but I think I need to spend more time looking at it. I think Vancian is almost like a cornerstone. I think they wear that with a badge of honor.
Sure, because it's simple.
Yeah.
And that's what I've heard. It's simple. You have these, they go away, we're done. It's simple.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with OSR, simple.
Yeah, it does seem to be a thing they like. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, cool. I think that's all I got to say, man. You ready to wrap this puppy up?
Yeah. So if you'd like to support our show, please check out our website at www.biggestgeekestpodcast.com/support. And while any contribution is very much appreciated, we thank you for that and for your consideration. There's a lot of ways you can help us out, and primarily tell your friends.
Yep.
If you have to, tie one of them up to a chair.
Yep.
Strap them to a chair, stick some headphones in their head, and play our podcast. They will thank you for it.
I think that's the best move of all.
Most likely they won't press charges.
I can't imagine after they hear us, they'll be like, I'm glad you did that.
Don't do that.
No, that's a joke.
That's a joke.
Unless you really want to.
We have an email if you have questions. It's called questions@biggestgeekestpodcast.com.
Or comments, not just questions. Someone asked me, well, I didn't have any questions. Well, just comments. Tell us how cool we are.
I might need to change it to just something else so people, the scads of people that listen to the podcast,
a billion.
They probably would use that mm-hmm. email link, but mm-hmm. since it says questions and they don't have questions, they feel honor bound to not send it.
Which is, that's what I love about our people who listen to us. I mean, they're honorable folks. Yes. Hey, like John Allen, so they can – John Allen sent us that message through Anchor, right?
Yes.
So you can leave us a voicemail too.
Sure. Leave us a voicemail at Anchor.
Do we have a link on our iTunes whenever you put an episode up? Is there a link that says leave a voicemail here?
I don't have iTunes, so I don't know. You have an iPhone.
Oh, gosh.
You should look.
Okay, I will. We finish up, man. We're wrapping up.
You should do some of the work around here.
Come on. Like I told you before, Joe, I'm the talent.
Okay.
So. That's true. Go ahead, dude.
Well, speaking of Anchor, there's a few podcasts we like to promote. One of them is Red Dice Diaries, although I don't think he's on Anchor anymore. Used to be.
No, he went somewhere else.
He went independent.
Yeah, because he's that kind of dude, man.
He's an indie caster now.
He rolls his own way.
Yes. Red Dice Diaries with John Allen Large and his wife, Hannah. Someone who is still on anchor is Radio Grognard with Lynn Hallstrom. We both listen to that almost daily. Also like to promote, and this is also independent. It's not on anchor.
Yeah.
I don't think is The Tale of the Manticore. Very unique, drama / actual play kind of, but it's pretty cool.
Yes.
Check all those out.
On iTunes, there is a link to the anchor message. You can call and leave us a voicemail.
So do that.
We'd like to play some more of those.
All right. Well, this is Joe.
And I'm Randy.
And remember, if you can't be big like us, then be geeks like us.